A review of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad. Communication with Allah and peace are through him. Khadija bint Khuwailid. Peace be upon her. The Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, married her before his mission, when she was 40 years old and he was only 25. He did not marry another woman until after her death, may God be pleased with her, and when he was over 50 years old. Sauda bint Zumah, peace be upon her. There was no motive of beauty, wealth, or rank that made him marry her. He married her only because her husband died in Allah's way during the Hijrah to Ethiopia, and she became alone in that faraway land. She could not return to her family, who were still unbelievers. So would he leave her alone? Absolutely not. Indeed, it was a humanist marriage in the full sense of the word. Aisha bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. May God be pleased with both of them. The Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, married her in order to fasten the ties of humanist political relations between the Prime Minister of the Islamic State and him. No doubt, through this affinity, the bond of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq with him will be more firm, since a piece of his liver will be at al-Mustafa, which strengthens the connection and attachment between him and the chosen more than before. In general, affinity has its great role in consolidating bonds and relations. In Arabic, the word affinity means fusion, whose letter indicates this concept. In the Holy Quran, the Almighty says, "And hold fast, all together, by the rope of Allah, and be not divided." Fortress 3, Al-Imran, the family of Iran, verse 103. Since the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, is the firm rope of Allah and his illuminative light, and as our master Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would, one day, hold the reins of government for the Islamic nation, therefore the marriage of the Prophet with our mother Aisha had considerable effect in growing and strengthening the connection between him and her father, upon whom the fate of this nation, even the fate of the whole world, after the Prophet's transference, would depend. Hafsa bint Omar bin al-Khattab, may God be pleased with both of them. The reason behind this marriage was the very same reason of the aforementioned marriage. Our master Omar was the candidate to be the next prime minister after our master Abi Bakr, so he would also become the leader of the Islamic nation. Thus, the marriage of the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, to the daughter of Al-Faruq, the one who discriminates between truth and falsehood, was done as a service for humanity, just as his marriage with the daughter of As-Siddiq, the true blue, was. Zainab bint Khuzaimah, peace be upon her. She was the wife of Ubaidah bin al-Harith, who was martyred in the Battle of Badr. The Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, wanted to substitute for her late husband by taking her as a spouse in order to please her, but she died after only 2 months of this marriage. Also, her family were unbelievers, and she definitely should not have been sent back to them. Salamah, peace be upon her. Her husband died as a martyr in the Battle of Uhud, and therefore the messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, asked for her hand after she finished her iddat. Yet she excused herself because of the many children and because she had gone past the stage of youth. But the Prophet took upon himself to take care of raising her children, and he married her with this consideration in mind. The Holy Quran revealed that raising orphans is stipulated for the legalization of polygamy. God says, "And if ye fear that ye may not be just to the orphans, marry of women, what lead to good life for you, 2 or 3 or 4. Fortress 4 and Nisa, the women, verse 3. As for extirpating the usage of adoption, which destroys Islamic society, this was accomplished by his marriage to Zainab bint Jahash. Peace be upon her. The Prophet married her from his freedman and adoptive son, Ziyad ibn al-Harith. May God be pleased with him. Though she was a descendant of the most high-bred tribe in Arab Island. By that, he abolished those considerations that were based on spirits and on nothing other than clannishness, and made people perceive that there is no preference for an Arab over a non-Arab, except according to the illumination of God's light. Then, when the divorce was fulfilled between her and her husband, the adopted son of the Prophet, the Almighty bid his envoy, communication with Allah and peace are through him, to marry Zainab, may God be pleased with her, in order to wreck those old and wrong ideas which regard the son of adoption as that of parentage, and which make this association with the family's members lead to wrongdoing, adultery, and a muddle in the lineages involved. The Almighty says, "Then, when Zaid had dissolved his marriage with her, with the necessary formality, we joined her in marriage to thee, in order that in future there may be no difficulty to the believers in the matter of marriage with the wives of their adopted sons. When the latter have dissolved with the necessary formality of their marriage with them. And Allah's command is surely fulfilled." Fortress 33, Al-Ahzab, the combined clans, verse 37. Jawairiya bint Al-Harith, peace be upon her. Her relatives, the sons of Mustalak, embraced Islam by virtue of his marriage with her. Communication with Allah and peace are through him. Although they had been absolute enemies to the Muslims. Even her father, Al-Harith, who was the head of this tribe, when he knew the honorific treatment of his captive daughter, came submissively to the Prophet and professed Islam, until it was said, "No woman had ever brought blessings upon her folk more than Jawairiya did." The Egyptian Copt, Maria, peace be upon her. The king of Egypt, Al-Muqawqas, presented her to the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, as an odalisk. He accepted her out of mercy for her, so as to bring her from the world of polytheism to the world of monotheism and belief. She was the first one of those whom his right hand possessed, and then she became his wife and one of our mothers. Regarding Lady Maria, the Prophet admired her intelligence, as well as finding an aptitude in her that made her fit to be a spouse for him in order to teach women on his behalf and to guide them. The great fruit of such an alliance to the people of Egypt was picked after 6 centuries of the alliance, when the religion of Islam was protected from utter extinction at the hands of Victor Bebers. His secret was made sacred. Thus, his marriage to her led to a humane political linkage with the Christians. The people of Egypt were all Copts. Part of them became Muslims, while the others remained Copts. Those Copts were the ones who took up arms under the leadership of the victor king in order to aid Islam, Safiya bint Huyay bint al-Khattab. Her father was the head of the sons of Qurayza, as he was a scion of her master Moses bin Imran. As Islam elevates man's rank, therefore the daughter of a head of unbelievers should be married by a head of Muslims. Rayhana bint al-Qurayza, peace be upon her. When she embraced Islam, the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, manumitted her. Then he married her. The two wives above mentioned were Jewesses. Through his marriage to both of them, the Prophet aimed at establishing strong relations with the Jews, who believed, heads and commons, as he looked forward to make the hearts of the Jews tend friendly to Islam and Salam, peace. Habiba bint Abi Sufyan, peace be upon her. Her marriage was the direct reason for her father, the head of Quraysh, adopting Islam, and which led consequently to sparing the blood of the people of Quraysh, who believed later on. In the Holy Quran, God says, O Prophet, we have made lawful to thee thy wives whom thou hast paid their dowries, and those whom thy right hand possesses out of the prisoners of war whom Allah has assigned to thee, and daughters of thy paternal uncles and aunts, and daughters of thy maternal uncles and aunts, who migrated with thee, and any believing woman who dedicates herself to the Prophet, if the Prophet wants to wed her. This only for thee, and not for the believers at large. We know that we have appointed for them, as to their wives, and the captives whom their right hands possess, in order that there should be no difficulty for thee. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Thou mayest defer the turn of any of them that thou pleases, and thou mayest receive any thou pleases, and there is no blame on thee if thou invite one whose turn thou hadst set aside. This were nigher to the cooling of their eyes, the prevention of their grief, and their satisfaction, that of all of them, with that which thou hast to give them. And Allah knows all that is in your hearts, and Allah is all-knowing, most forbearing. It is not lawful for thee to marry more women after this, nor to change them for other wives, even though their spiritual beauty attract thee, except any thy right hand should possess. And Allah doth watch over all things. Fortress 33, Al-Ahzab, the Combined Clans, verse 50 to 53. These verses indicate openly and clearly that the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, did not get married except according to God's command, and after his ratification and leave. Allah, glory to his name, loves his creatures. His absolute wish is but to save them, to protect them from falling in wrongdoings, and to help them follow the path which leads to their happiness in this life and in the life to come. For this purpose, he sent his envoy, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, as a mercy for them, a and made his marriage as a means to saving and guiding their women. The Prophet is the master of the merciful ones. He came to this world to be a savior that brings people out from the depths of darkness into light and lends a helping hand to them in becoming illuminated by God's light so that they enjoy happiness in this world and in the other world. He had never contracted a marriage except according to God's will and with his satisfaction. His soliloquy was ever, "Oh, my God, for me, you are the home, and your satisfaction is my hope. All creation is dependents of Allah. The more helpful to them one is, the more beloved to Allah he will be." Since the Prophet, communication with Allah and peace are through him, is the most helpful creature to God's creatures, so he is the most beloved to Allah. Thus the Prophet was not to polygamize except by God's order and leave. And when his polygamy would end to endless profit for mankind, all during his age and the following ages. It also indicates that his intention and aim were to graduate instructors from his wives for the women. Through his marrying many wives, he graduated a group of clever, pure guides. The acumen and intelligence found in the woman who he would marry were of interest to him, as they are an essential requirement for the guide in order to report his aim and instruction to the women. In verse 52 of the Combined Clans Fortress, we find that Allah forbade him to get married after it had been permissible before, because since Allah the Almighty is omniscient of the term of death which was so near to him at that time, so there was not sufficient duration to graduate a new wife, as the period for which she would live with him would be very short due to the nearness of his death. Time would never suffice her to be infused with the heart, life and sciences from him. Therefore, Allah told him that, "Now marrying women is not allowable to you afterwards, even if you admire their excellence." The excellence indicated here is the beauty and purity of the spirit and the heart, not of the body. And undoubtedly, the excellence for which he cares, communication with Allah and peace are through him, is only spiritual purity in addition to the acumen and intelligence he found in the wife he was pleased to marry. For these qualities give her the capacity to become a guide, through whom women would profit and ascend in the sciences of the Holy Quran. This is an obvious thing, because when he was in the prime of his youth, he did not get married, except with our pure mother, Khadija, who was 15 years older than him, as mentioned before. So was the case for 2 years or more, even after her death, until he was 53 years old, and got married for supreme and humane political aims, and to aid the rightness and its people, since he is a mercy for women and for the whole world. As for the saying, "Ascribe falsely to God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, 3 matters out of your worldly life are beloved to me: the scent, the women, and the delight of my eye is in praying." This is a saying of the intriguers who seek to defame the most honorable and pure of people and to insert deadly poison into fat, delicious food. For this reason, they added the words "scent" and "women" and joined them to the words, "The delight of my eye is found in praying," in order to let their intrigue spread among simple-minded people. God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, did not love and was not infatuated with any but his provider. And he was often isolated with this foremost beloved one, the great and the almighty, in the Hira cave, until the people of Quraysh said about him, "Indeed, Muhammad has adored his provider." He never shook hands with a woman, and he married no one other than our mother Khadija, who was 15 years elder than him, except after her death, when he was 52 years old, and only then for sublime, humane, politician purposes, as we have already mentioned. So is it possible to say about such a pure, chaste man that he loves women? Far be it from him. Indeed, if you want to criticize a man using the most hateful, brutish descriptions, you may say he is a ladies' man, Don Juan. Truly, our Master Muhammad, communication with Allah and peace are through him, did not deviate a hair's breadth from the path of loving God, and was as firm and enduring as the mountain in being in God's presence. And he indeed resigned his spirit to his provider and attained all his high desires in loving him. It is he who said, "By him in whose hand Muhammad's spirit is, and not in the women's hand." And if some people try to garnish this devilish saying by pretending that this love is a love of mercy and the like, we say that the messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, is indeed a mercy for all the worlds, not for one sex without the other. He is a mercy for men and women, for mankind and jinnkind, and for all the creatures. So, this saying, "Three matters out of your worldly life are beloved to me," is baseless, and what has been built upon falsehood is false.
My brother, the Muslim scholar, it appears to me, after hearing such an explanation, that Islam is a strong, firm religion, consistent in its legislated law, and it is a mercy for mankind, and it includes the highest sublime spiritual education for the spirits. As the great scholar Muhammad Amin Sheikh revealed it, relying upon only God's book, which is the Quran, and what agrees with it. And with that, the savage, inhumane impression with which those who are ignorant of the Muslims stained your religion. And as a result of the evil-doing unbelievers, the masters of Israeli intrigues, has been effaced.